What I am going to talk about today is Daniel's prophecy, 70 weeks of years. Not very many people talk about prophecy, particularly Daniel's prophecy. Primarily because they do not want to mislead God's people. God told Daniel to seal the prophecy until the time of the end, that during that generation, the people who know their God will work exploits. That time is rapidly advancing upon us even now. The worst of times and the best of times. Yet, first, I am convinced that there is an urgent need in the church today for a much greater understanding of Christian doctrine or theology. Not only pastors and teachers need to understand theology in greater depth, the whole church does as well. One day, by God's grace, we may have churches full of Christians who can discuss, apply, and live the doctrinal teachings of the Bible as readily as they can discuss the details of their own jobs, hobbies, football teams, home decorations, or television programs. It is not that Christians lack the ability to understand doctrine. It is just that they must have access to it in an understandable form. To that end, the lost art of transcripts is available for this message, so that we might study to show ourselves approved. The other forms of the Word of God, other than the written word, are not suitable as the primary basis for the study of theology. Once access to doctrine is made available in an understandable form by way of transcripts, I think that many Christians will find that understanding and living the doctrines of Scripture is one of their greatest joys. For the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That word that the text is referring to is not the written word or the logos. It is the spoken word. So, once you take that written or logos word and you begin to speak it or convert it to the rhema word, then faith comes to you. For we talk about those things that are not as though they were. They are. Thus, when we say the things that God has already said, we cause them to become true in our lives. Thus, we have the written word to better understand the spoken word. Therefore, you can focus on what is being said when it is being said. You can focus on that rather than you implicitly or explicitly listen to me chastising you, the listener, for not bringing a pencil or paper or not having the stenographic skills to keep up or the mental fortitude to multitask. For you can be assured that whatever you miss, you can retrieve. After all, when I created the message, I already had, to some extent, a written version of it. Therefore, to better understand and to repeat the words of this message that God has already said, a text version of this message, as well as a video, audio, and over 100 other messages, can be found on the internet at pastthemike22.com. That is pastthemic22.com. God bless. The availability of a transcript is the heart of teaching. Now, back to Daniel's prophecy, 70 weeks of years. How would we know that a peace treaty that is signed, that is the peace treaty that marks the beginning of the final 7 years? It is a tremendously important question. Let us first of all understand the prophecy of the final 7 years. Daniel was given the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It is called Daniel's 70 weeks. Let us go ahead and read it little by little. In Daniel 9, 24, in the Revised Standard Version, it says, 70 weeks of years are declared concerning your people and your holy city, to finish the transgressions, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the Most High place. The prophecy states that 70 weeks of years, which equals 490 years, are determined upon the Jewish people and upon the holy city. This refers to Jerusalem. Now, that was God speaking directly to Daniel and saying that 70 weeks of years are determined upon your people and the holy city of Jerusalem. That is what this prophecy is all about. Then, in the next verse, verse number 25, it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build in Jerusalem, the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks of years. The streets shall be rebuilt again and the wall, even in trouble sometimes. Now, the Jews had been in Babylon in captivity for 70 years. They were driven down into Babylon because of their backsliding and their iniquity. Yet the prophet Jeremiah told them that you are going to go down there for 70 years and then you will come back and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Well, here is the way that it happened. They have already been down there for 70 years. And the Persian king, Cyrus, that had just conquered Babylon, gave the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem in the year 538 BC. Now, from Cyrus' command to the Messiah would be three segments of time. 7 weeks of years, or 49 years, then a gap in the prophecy, then 62 weeks of years, or 434 years, then there would be another gap. So, let us look at 49 years, a gap, then 434 years. Now, how do we know that there is a gap? Because that is the way that the prophecy was given to us. It was given to us in 7 weeks of years, 62 weeks of years, and 1 week of years. Why would God break it up that way? We are going to see absolute proof that it was because between each segment, there is a gap. Okay, Daniel 9:26 says it this way. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary. Speaking of Jerusalem, and the end thereof shall be over flood until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Okay, so we have God's 69 weeks of years, or 482 years, and that ends with the crucifixion of the Messiah. Jesus was crucified around 30 AD. After the crucifixion, the Romans destroyed the city and the sanctuary, just like verse 26 tells us. So, you have the Messiah crucified, and after that, the Romans came and destroyed the city and the sanctuary. That happens in 70 AD, that Jesus was crucified around 30 AD, and then Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. Yet the final 7 years had not yet begun. This is a perfect illustration that there was a gap. So, the reason that this prophecy was given in 7 weeks of years, 62 weeks of years, then in 1 week of years is because there was a gap between each of these segments. Now, we are going to continue on in studying this prophecy. One of the most important prophecies and one of the misunderstood prophecies of the entire Bible. Yet, we are trying to break it down today so that all of us can get it. So far, what we have learned is from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah will be a total of 483 years with a gap. Then the final 7 years will come later. Yet, let us notice this. The Messiah had to appear and be cut off before 70 AD. So the Messiah was crucified at the end of the period of 483 years. Yet, after that, the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. This provides absolute proof that Jesus was the Messiah. The Messiah had to come before the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. I shared this with several of my Jewish friends, and they looked at me like they never knew that that was in the Bible. This is absolute proof that Jesus was the Messiah. The Messiah had to be here and be killed before Rome was destroyed in 70 AD. The whole world knows that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Therefore, the Messiah had to be here before that could occur, and he was. Jesus was the Messiah and had to get cut off. The crucifixion was certainly qualified as being cut off. Okay, now, let's look at it one more time. We have 49 years, then a gap, 434 years, then another gap. Then there is going to be one more week of 7 years, constituting a 7-year period. Now, the prophecy was given in segments so that you can really get it. Let us go through the segments one more time. So the 49 years, beginning with the command in 538 BC to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Then comes the gap. Then 434 years. We know exactly where those years ended. They end with the Messiah coming and being cut off. We read that in Daniel 49, verse number 26. Are you getting this so far? Then another gap. This gap contains the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD and it also contains what is known in the Bible as the times of the Gentiles. The Bible says in Luke 41:24 that Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles till the fullness of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Then in Romans 11:25, the Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, you know perfectly that the Jewish people have been temporarily rejected, blindness in part by what has happened in Israel until the Gentiles become in, but all Israel shall still be saved." We have seen that the Jewish people were there prior to the coming of the Messiah. Then there was a turning away of the Jewish people for almost 2,000 years. We know that the second gap was a big one that lasted almost 2,000 years. Then the Bible tells us that there was still that final 7 years. This prophecy is determined upon Daniel's people, the Jewish people, and the holy city. Now, let us look at the final 7 years. The final 7 years begins with what is called the confirmation of the Abrahamic covenant by the Antichrist. It will end with the battle of Armageddon and the second coming. So, let us look now at this final 7 years, because it is just as absolutely full of prophecies to come. We can already see it coming at us right now. The prophecy about the final 7 years is in verse 27 of Daniel 9. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." It says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. He is the Antichrist. He refers back to the princes shall come in Daniel 9:26. We know the law of English. When you have a masculine pronoun that refers back to the last mentioned masculine noun. Well, the last mentioned masculine noun was the people of the prince that shall come, who will rule the Holy Empire. So the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. The people of the princes shall come to destroy the sanctuary. Then, referring back to the princes shall come, it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. Then it says that he will also cause the sacrifice to stop. the Bible tells us that the Antichrist stops the sacrifices and places the abomination of desolation. This is found two chapters later in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 through 32. Listen to this. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall salute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate, and such as be wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Okay, now, let us look at it. He, the Antichrist, places the desolation and he takes away the daily sacrifice. Remember back in Daniel 27, it says he will confirm the covenant. He will take away the daily sacrifice. He will place the abomination of desolation. So here in Daniel 11 verses 32 and 33, we have absolute proof that it is the Antichrist. Some people try to say that he that confirms the covenant is Jesus the Christ. It cannot be. It plainly states that here that the he is the one who will cause the sacrifice to stop and place the abomination of desolation. Jesus never placed the abomination that maketh desolate. All right now, he also confirms the covenant. What is the covenant? The answer is found in Genesis 15 verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, until thy seed were given this land, from the rivers of Egypt to the great rivers, the river Euphrates. The Abrahamic covenant he gave right here in verse 18. But Abraham's seed would have the promise forever. Well, if God's promise to Abraham was that his descendants would have a home in the promised land, then what is the confirmation of the covenant? The Antichrist will confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. Well, the confirmation of the covenant was that when the Middle Eastern peace agreement was signed, the Antichrist and the world community will confirm Israel's right to exist in the Holy Land. Now, presently, Israel's enemies deny that she has a right to the Holy Land that God promised to Abraham. When the confirmation of the covenant takes place, at the time of the signing of the Palestinian peace agreement, the final 7 years to Armageddon and the second coming will begin. Next question. What sacrifices will the Antichrist stop? The Middle East Peace Agreement will place the Temple Mount under a sharing arrangement between Jews and Muslims. Israel will be allowed to build a third temple on the Temple Mount. When the temple is completed, animal sacrifices will be offered just like they were in the Old Testament. The Jews believe that they have to do this because they still do not believe that Jesus is their Messiah. Consequently, they think that they are still under the Old Testament law. As soon as that their temple is built, they will believe that in order to please God, they will have to resume animal sacrifices as they were conducted in the Old Testament time. Okay. These sacrifices are the sacrifices that the Antichrist will stop. Probably at the urging of the animal rights community. I am sure that as soon as they start killing Mary's little lamb every morning and every night, they were daily sacrifices, one in the morning and one in the evening. I am sure that the outcry for the animals activists is going to be thunderous. They are going to be marching on the Temple Mount with placards. Animals have rights too. Barbarism in the 21st century. I am sure that that is the way that it is going to be. So, the pressure is going to come on the Antichrist. He will be overseeing the sharing arrangement between the Muslims and the Jews, saying, "We cannot have this anymore." Now, that brings us to another important question. What is the abomination of desolation? In Matthew 24:15, Jesus says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, remember," it refers back to Daniel 9:27, "and when you see him stand in the holy place," he tells us where the abomination of desolation will take place. It is going to take place either in the Jewish temple itself or on the Temple Mount. So, when he stops the sacrifice and says that we do not need this anymore, that is part of the abomination of desolation. "Whosoever readeth, let him understand." So, according to Jesus, the abomination of desolation will occur in the holy place. The holy place and the temple are on the Temple Mount. The Apostle Paul gave a more detailed description of the abomination of desolation in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 24. Here is what he said. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of the second coming, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this is the reason that it is called the abomination of desolation. It is because Almighty God said repeatedly in the Old Testament, I will put my name here, speaking of on the Temple Mount, speaking of in Jerusalem, in particular in the temple itself. He said that I will put my name here forever. The term man of sin, son of perdition, both refers to the end time leader called the Antichrist. He is also known as that wicked one, the beast, and he is known by several other names. Now, the Apostle Paul preaches here that the Antichrist will stand in the temple exalting himself above all that are called God or is worshipped, so that he that is God sitteth in the temple as God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this is the reason that it is called the abomination of desolation. Almighty God said repeatedly in the Old Testament, I will put my name here, speaking of on the Temple Mount, speaking of in Jerusalem, in particular in the temple itself. He said that I will put my name here forever. The term man of sin, son of perdition, both refer to the end time leader called the Antichrist. He is also known as that wicked one, the beast, and he is known by several other names. Now, the Apostle Paul teaches here that the Antichrist will stand in the temple exalting himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, claiming to be God. Now, since God said that I will put my name there, Satan wants to displace God and put his name there. When Antichrist commits this blasphemous act, that will be the abomination of desolation. The Palestinian-Israeli agreement begins Daniel's 70th week. This means God will resume his plan for the Jews for the next 7 years. However, it does not mean that he will turn away from the Gentiles. There was a Jewish and Gentile church together after the 69th week was fulfilled. There will still be a Jewish and Gentile church together during the 70th week. So, God did not leave the church after the 69th week stops. He also will not leave the Gentiles completely once the 70th week begins at the signing of the Palestinian-Israeli agreement. So, how would we know that the agreement that is signed is the one that will trigger the final 7 years? One, it will place the Temple Mount under a sharing arrangement. Two, it will allow the building of Israel's temple on the Temple Mount without disturbing the Dome of the Rock and the Allah Samas. Here is the proof that Revelation 11, 1 to 2. And there was given me a reed like unto a rock, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar for them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple leave out and measure it not. Why? For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Here we are at Revelation 11, 1 and 2. And God told John, measure the temple and the people who are worshiping therein. Now, this happens 3 1/2 years before the battle of Armageddon and the second coming. So, here we have absolute proof that the Temple Mount is going to be under a sharing arrangement. John was told to measure the temple and those that worship therein. Do not measure the outer court, which will continue under Gentile control. The Dome of the Rock and the Allah Samas, those are Muslim shrines that are located in what will be called the outer court of the Jewish temple. So, God said, do not measure that. Now, here is what is going to happen. This will also allow Jews to stay in Samaria. There are 850,000 Jews living in Samaria right now. They are going to be allowed to stay there. We know this because in Matthew 24, chapter 15 through 21, Jesus said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso ever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them which are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight might be not in the winter, nor on the Sabbath day, for then shall there be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not nor ever shall be. For Jerusalem shall be under the control of Israel, but the final status of Israel shall be left unresolved. We know this from Zechariah 14, verse 14:2. Here is what the Lord says. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses shall be rifled, and the women raffled. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the rest, residue of the people, shall not be cut off from the city. So, this shows us that during the Battle of Armageddon, now listen closely because this is really important. During the Battle of Armageddon, half of Jerusalem will fall. Now, what does that tell us? That means that all of Jerusalem was under Jewish control all during the final 7 years. When the peace agreement was signed, the one thing that the Jews will take a stand on is we will not surrender control of Jerusalem. They are going to control Jerusalem all during the final 7 years. Finally, the world government is going to come down against Israel to force her to surrender East Jerusalem to the Palestinians for their capital building. Everything that is going to fall right into place. Now, in the next segment, we are going to hear about the greatest revival that has ever been seen and how all of these events are going to tie right in together. Don't miss a single lesson of these segments. Grace and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, to better understand and to repeat the words of this message that God has already said, a text version of this message, as well as a video, audio, and over 100 other messages, can be found on the internet at passthemic22.com. That is, passthemic22.com. God bless. The availability of a transcript is the heart of teaching.